Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome, folks, to Food Fight Radio, where all's fair in love and pork. We really get to the meat of things on this show, and our tricks for cooking cow will move you.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
Too much?
Just a little.
A little childish. Folks, we really take our meat very, very seriously on Food Fight, and today we'll be covering a very serious matter, a potentially volatile mix, meat-wrapped meats.
Ooh.
Meat-wrapped in meat. Get some meat and you wrap it with more meat. And then you have meat wrapped meat. Is you with me so far?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you like a turducken.
You look a little confused. Yeah, that's right. For people who just aren't satisfied with just a plain old, perfectly grilled, gorgeous, dry-aged steak, and they have to wrap it with, like, bacon or something to make it even more meaty, this one's for you.
Nice.
So, meat wrapped meats, right now on Food Fight. If you didn't hear me, it's meat. It's wrapped with more meat. This is a meat show.
This is a meat show.
Yeah, pretty clear about
not
the fact
like
that
nice
an,
to meet you, but
no,
I'm going to eat that.
Eat that meat, wrapped in more meat.
Wrapped in more meat.
Yeah, I think we just said the word meat like 40 times,
40 times
in like a minute. That's my new record.
Nice.
Hey.
Nice.
That's
Yay.
Pretty good. I should write that down.
I'll get you a little hat. Meat wrapped in meat hat.
Ooh, I'd eat my own head. Now, some of my favorites are individual little meat loaves wrapped in nice natural ham slices and some zesty marinara.
That sounds pretty good.
Really, really good. Bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
That's a big thing. A lot of people like that because it gives the hot dogs a nice solid crunch and salty, which hot dogs don't need more salt. But
they don't need more salt.
No, they don't need more
salt. Bacon just has salt. The hot dogs have all the nitrates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a double whammy.
Yeah, right. That one will kill you. You could do these Hawaiian style and put them on a bun, put mayo and diced mango.
Ooh.
Mayo and mango.
I've been liking mayo more and more on my hot dogs. I still can't handle ketchup.
It's very French. Putting mayo on everything is kind of a French thing.
Yeah, well, it's eggs and oil, so yeah, it's not really good for you, but that's...
But you really can't go wrong.
No.
And also why I don't make it myself, because it reminds me what it's made out of. I like to get nice, cheap, grocery store,
Double
inexpensive,
A.
generic mayo.
Oh,
It's got the best flavor.
It's the same thing. It's eggs, oil, and maybe some sort of vinegar.
And don't be impressed or seduced by olive oil, virgin olive oil, mayo. You know, the thing with the fancy name on it. Ooh, olive oil. You know what? It doesn't even taste as good as the stuff that uses, you know, really, like, not great oil.
When I would make the mayonnaise for the burgers at restaurants and stuff like that, I would get slapped if I used olive oil to make the mayo. Because you can taste the olives in it.
Like, yeah. It tastes like olive oil.
I just look at that cringe. I can't get close to it because I'm just used to the abuse I would get if I accidentally used olive oil as opposed to canola oil.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have... So here we have a pig wrapped in cow.
Pig wrapped in cow?
Yeah, that's like normally is like, you know, the bacon.
Yeah.
Or a cow, sorry, cow
wrapped.
Oh, okay,
wrapped, that's why you got me intrigued. I was like, ooh, I've never seen
well,
that.
Well, I mean, they make pig hot dogs.
They do make pig hot dogs.
Don't make cow bacon.
No, cow bellies are kind of tough.
Use an all beef hot dog, folks. They're better. They're better and they go with the bacon better.
Uh-huh.
And just grill them. Scallops, of course, are great wrapped in bacon. Cook the bacon first, then wrap the scallop.
Yeah. And make sure not to cook it all the way. You don't want super crispy bacon, but you want to get a lot of the fat out.
And bacon takes longer to cook than a nice scallop.
Yeah.
They cook very quickly, and they cook at different temperatures.
Seared, done, yeah.
So really, you just want to, you take a nice raw, big, just nice,
big, beautiful,
diver
scallop.
And then you have your cooked bacon, not overcooked, not crispy. You want it to be, you know, rubbery still, kind of chewy.
If you want to cheat, go buy the cooked bacon in the stores because it still has bend to it, so you can still wrap stuff with it.
That's a good cheat.
But
you don't get to collect the grease.
I know.
Which is a shame, and we're going to be talking about that later in the show because we like bacon grease. We like collecting it. We like using it. We like giving it to each other as Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit weird. Try this one. Take a plantain banana.
Yes.
Put it on a stick, wrap it with cooked bacon, batter it, and deep fry it.
Huh.
Deep fried bacon, wrapped banana on a stick.
But it's a plantain, so it's very starchy. It's like potato-y.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So that it's kind of like...
It's not too sweet.
It's not going to be too sweet, and it won't fall apart and get mushy, is kind of the important thing.
Yeah.
That'll be the next big thing at county fairs, I'm sure.
That will be the next big thing.
Yeah, and then it'll be dipped in chocolate. We've mentioned bacon-wrapped grilled corn before. Those are really awesome. You can wrap jumbo shrimp with prosciutto.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
So you take a cooked shelled shrimp, nice big one, mm-hmm. wrap it with raw bacon, the
prosciutto,
wrap it with prosciutto. You know, it's thin. It's like paper sheet thin. And turn it around and around in a hot pan for just a few seconds until it gets nice and crispy, and then put it in cocktail sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, prosciutto.
Very, very
I love wrapping things in prosciutto more than bacon because prosciutto
makes a little sheet.
And
you can wrap it tight. You know, like a little food mummy.
Better look on it.
It's a meat mummy. I like mummifying my meat with more meat. Mm-hmm. You can make a kebab out of apple chunks with some nice crispy bacon in between, or a little folded up ribbon of roast beef in there. Brush a little preserves on it. Grill it. Very, very tasty. What are some more meat wrapped meats?
Fine dining restaurants do a lot of like tight pork loins. Just the center loin itself, maybe an inch in diameter, wrap that in prosciutto, grill it, and slice it, and you have a very beautiful look. And again, prosciutto, because it has that nice crispiness.
It's a meat tube. Ooh.
But it's beautiful.
That really sounds good. So you would roast that.
Yeah, you would roast that. You would give it a quick sear just to make that crispiness, but then roast it on a skinny side. That way the juices kind of hold in there, and then it's
only inch and a half in diameter. Isn't the whole thing the skinny side?
They're not usually round. They're just not so big.
You could also do this with a regular tenderloin.
Yes.
You know, they're like 3 inches or so, 2.5, 3 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
So you can wrap those with all kinds of stuff. And you could do multiple layers.
That sounds like fun.
You don't have to have just, you know, your tenderloin and then wrap it with one kind of meat.
Huh.
You could do multiple layers of meat on top of your meat.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could do the prosciutto because it'll wrap around nice and tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you want to put like a layer of something, like a something that'll make it stick.
Yeah, I was thinking of like a sauce of some sort.
Yeah, like some kind of a sauce, something like a very, very sick. Not sick.
Sick.
Thick.
Something disgusting.
It's going to be sick. It's going to be so tasty. It's going to be sick.
Yeah, like a molasses or maple, like consistency. Maybe not that, depending on what you're eating.
Then put on a layer of ham.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like an English trifle. A layer of your prosciutto. You got stuff, and you got a layer of ham. And then you got another layer of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roast it.
And you roast it.
And then you cover it with some kind of a sauce. And then slice it up.
And it's beautiful.
Like pound cake. And I'd rather have that than pound cake.
Neat pound cake.
No neat pound cake. It looks like a pound cake.
It looks like a pound cake.
Looks like a pound cake. I would eat that instead of the pound cake. If anyone out there is looking for any last-minute Christmas ideas for me, we don't like fruitcake. We like cake made out of meat. Meat cake. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, Canadian-inspired recipes. It's Canadian comfort food, eh? That's what we're talking about. Coming to you live in flannel underpants, this is Claire Katz.
Hey, how'd you know?
Keep it tuned.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS. Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to the only food show that'll give you healthy recipes with lots of veggies and then tell you to feed it to your turkey to fatten him up for slaughter and have a beer while you wait. That's a real Canadian diet, and I'd know. I was born and raised there. Canadian comfort food is right now on Food Fight. So Canadians like meat. Yeah. They like pie. And we're talking about the middle and west coasters here. The Canadians on the other coast, the East Coast, we call that the other coast, like in Quebec, they're more French.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're more French-inspired in their cuisine. And don't let all the plaid flannel fool you. Those French Canadians are seriously French. They're so snooty about their food that they even scoff at France.
Huh.
They're even rude to other French.
I like them a little bit more now.
I know, me too. But the food there in Canada gets the benefit of both the French influence and the devotion to nitpicky quality, mixed with the toasty, lovey-dovey feeling you get from the British-inspired food on the West Coast.
Ooh.
And then they blend in the middle, and what you get is Canadian comfort food. It's a good mix. In fact, if you're like me and want to go to France and spend days and days trying every amazing restaurant and underground cheese cave in the country, but you hate flying, you can go to Montreal. And it's pretty much the same thing. You don't have to cross an ocean to pay people to be that rude.
Oh. I like that.
Yeah. So Canadians like heavy, heartwarming, tasty, rich things because Canadians are warm and cuddly people. They're just super nice pretty much all the time. And if you meet one, don't say, "Hey, do you know Martin Gunderson?"
Hey.
Because you assume it's a tiny place and everyone knows one another because you haven't looked at a globe in the past 30 years. Canada is huge. It's really, really huge. And there's, you know, it's actually a lot bigger than the U.S., you would think. There's about 35 million people there, which I guess is about how many people you'd get in, you know, like South Texas.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, you know, it's not a lot of people for a whole country.
They're just spread out.
But it's still a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot
35
of people.
Million people. That's quite a neighborhood. You're not going to know other people. I get mad. People actually do say, "Oh, you know, my cousin grew up in Canada. Maybe you knew him."
Do you know Justin Bieber?
Why? He's not Canadian, is he?
He is Canadian, yes.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's not American. No, we wouldn't know. He's Canadian.
Oh, nuts.
Yeah.
I am not a Bieber
fan.
I'm
actually have a petition to deport him.
Oh, that's awesome. Can I join that?
Yeah, and send him back to Canada.
This is the first time hearing it, but I'm really excited about it. Ever since you said 2 seconds ago that you were petitioning to get rid of him, that's how long I've been excited about that. So you can taste Canadians' friendliness in their food, too. They're just really huggy and lovey-dovey. Like in their rhubarb pie. What's not to like about rhubarb pie? Bumbleberry cake.
Bumbleberry.
It's a mixture of berries, but they have bumbleberry cake up there. It's a very Canadian name for something.
I like it.
It's really kind of cute. And the widespread use of fennel, because it grows like crazy there. Sweet, gooey fried dough, like an amorphous donut. People make stews there with mushrooms they've picked from their yard.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and scary. Awesome stuff. Today, you're going to learn to cook like a Canadian. Fried dough is a lot of fun. You're going to take and this is called fried dough, by the way. It doesn't have some fancy schmancy name. It's not a beignet.
Not a beignet.
Not a beignet. No. In fact, if you use the word beignet on the West Coast, you're going to get slapped.
Nice.
Yeah. They're nice right up until you start talking like a French person, and then they'll smack you. right across the face.
You found the other coast,
with a piece of fried dough. So the and take any donut mix, like a beignet mix, something like that. Add less water. Put some cinnamon and sugar in it. The dough should be stiff enough to be difficult to knead. Grab a piece of dough about the size of an egg, pound it into an oval shape, and then drop it into hot oil.
Oh, that sounds super easy.
Yeah, and it looks like a little, you know, ear, like a little tiny elephant ear. So you flip it once to brown it, and then dip the thing into cinnamon and sugar. Very, very tasty kind of donut. Very Canadian donut.
Yes.
Because everyone is like a different shape. It's like the lazy man's donut. You want a donut. Mm-hmm. You want it to be covered in cinnamon and sugar, but you don't want to spend all morning making it.
No, you don't want to form it, cut it out, make sure it's
you
perfect.
You want to get to the point where you're eating it.
Yes.
And then, you know, you will let the French worry about, you know, the little square beignets with all the powdered sugar. You know what? All that powdered sugar, A, it's nothing but sugar, and B, if you breathe while you're eating those, it goes up into your nose and you cough like crazy.
Yeah, and if you get some on your face, people think you're doing coke.
Well, there's that. But, you know, having a coughing fit because you're trying to, you know, convert oxygen to carbon dioxide basically exists while you're enjoying your donut.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't breathe. You can't inhale at all when you have these beignets. I'm not a fan of beignets. They're not sweet.
I had some in New Orleans, and I was really disappointed. I was like, oh, this is fun. We're having beignets.
So okay, I would be too. You know why? Coffee. Because the only time I'd go to New Orleans is just to get beignets and maybe some gator bites. Not a big fan of crawfish. They look a lot more like insects, really, than they need to. They are little lobsters, but lobsters are at least they're bigger, you know? So they have like meat, bits of like actual meat in there. Little crayfish, you take the tail off, you get like a little thimble of meat out of these things. And they're big enough that you would expect to be able to get more out of them. There's an awful lot of waste with those things. They're ridiculous. You're not going to find crayfish in Canada. Canadians have no patience for that kind of food nonsense. Ridiculous. When cooking like a Canadian, when in doubt, throw in some rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
Good general rule. That stuff grows there everywhere, usually in your backyard. It's got these long, dark red stems, which are the edible part. Don't eat the big, broad leaves because they'll make you sick. And in Canada, if you do get sick, there is a well-known common cure.
What's that?
Beer.
Ah.
They have pubs in Canada like they have in England. That's dark, heavy, drafty stuff, too. Always on tap. You know, super rich. Like Guinness, all the good ones. They're as serious about their beer in Canada as they are about their comfort food. And if we had snow here, you could make maple syrup taffy, which is really simple.
Is it just maple syrup out in the snow?
Well, no, it's a little bit more complicated. Okay. Essentially, yes, but you boil maple syrup, the real kind, not that sissy, all sugar, high fructose garbage, the real stuff that tastes like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is awesome, and it separates the men from the boys. You bring the syrup to a boil, about 245 degrees, string it around on fresh snow, if you have some. I always have some.
Yeah, I got a snowmaker in my backyard.
I don't know about you. I mean, get a snow cone machine, make some snow. Put in a little cube. Just string the hot syrup around on it and, you know, snow. Real snow. The white stuff that falls out of the sky. We're pretty unfamiliar with it here.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Weird,
it's
yeah.
weird that ice crystals would fall out of the sky.
Wouldn't that hurt?
You know,
they're crystal ice. I mean, I hold ice in my hand and it's not nice and snuggly.
I'm hitting the head with ice cubes. That's not a pleasant experience. I don't know why people are so in love with
this live there?
Crazy mystery idea of snow. What is it?
Well,
I grew up in Canada, and they had snow there. And people here are like, well, okay, I'm going to go drive out to the middle of the mountains for hours and hours just to see it.
Just to see it. And by then, the trucks have gone through and splashed mud all over it, so it's not even the same thing.
It's nasty. You can't eat it.
No.
It's slushy and brown.
It's hard.
It's gross. And people don't really appreciate this or realize it's cold.
Oh, geez, yeah.
It's very, very cold. So, it's beautiful. You know, everyone on TV is enjoying it.
No.
Okay. That's fake snow on TV, first of all. And secondly, real snow is made out of ice. It's very, very cold there.
I spent one winter in a place where it snowed in Yosemite when I lived there, when it snowed really heavily on
you. It's freaking freezing.
It's cold and the ground is ice.
You need 9 layers of pants.
You need nonstick shoes just to walk outside.
Yeah, or you're going down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need tires covered with chains.
Yeah.
You need pants full of thermal underwear.
Uh-huh.
Everyone in Canada really kind of owns a pair, at least, of thermal underwear. And even the lower parts where I grew up, close to the border, very Seattle-like. So there are still parts of the year where it's extremely frigid. go in the backyard, get some snow. You're going to swirl the syrup around, and then you can kind of gather it up once it's kind of hardened a little bit. It's not rock hard. You can wrap it around a lollipop stick and eat it.
Oh.
Maple candy.
Maple candy.
Right? Speaking of syrup, it's like the best thing ever made by a tree. Well, maybe except for, I don't know, oxygen, I suppose. But oxygen isn't delicious. Here's more stuff. You can do a sharp, medicine-y, real maple syrup that I love. Add it to whiskey over ice for a Canadian cocktail.
Ooh.
I call it the hoser.
The hoser. A hoser.
Yeah. Mix syrup with ground breakfast sausage and cook it. It's like a McDonald's McGriddle, except not made out of pink slime and silly putty.
Yeah.
Awesome, right?
Yes.
Mix it with cream cheese, smear it on bagels, toast, bundt cakes, put it in pancakes for another British-Canadian breakfast staple. Bitter orange marmalade. Mix that with your maple syrup. Very, very tasty. You know who does really great maple-glazed Canadian-style baby back ribs?
Ooh, who?
Dine In Tonight.
Oh, of course.
Of course. They make these great maple-glazed baby back ribs that are falling apart succulent, seriously mapley and rich. They're completely drool-worthy. Everything they make is cooked fresh with only healthy ingredients and minimal processing, really nothing pre-made, which means no preservatives. They have 100 different dinners, and they make one every day, different one every day, and then they drive it out to their customers for it in dinner time. So if you're not a customer yet, you'll want to call right now and make sure you don't miss any of their delicious meals. Call them today for an extra free week of dinners using promo code KCBQ. Everything is fresh, super delicious, and as always, just $10 an entree. Sign up for either 3 or 5 nights a week. Call them at 888-64-MEALS or check out the website. Check out the menu calendar on the website for a glimpse at all their succulent dinners. www.dineintonight.com. That's dineIn, the number 2, NITE.com. It's the biggest thing since putting things on a stick. If you haven't checked out their online menu calendar yet, then do it now and see what you've been missing. Dine In Tonight. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, blood sausage. It's sausage made with the blood of the animal that was just sacrificed for our consumption. Barbaric. We've got it here with us, and we've been waving it around the studio since we got here. Yep, these people are not happy. The epic food fight, blood sausage tasting. That's next on Food Fight Radio.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma, are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot, gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different. And suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life.
This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. CharlesCole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the only food show that'll say, ew, gross, sick. All right, let's eat it. It's blood sausage, and we've got it right here, folks. The real stuff. None of that sissy Farmer John stuff either. Mmm. Pungent. First, before we get our silver sporks and dig in, a little history. And I'm just going to open this container of blood sausage here in the studio for you to enjoy.
What is that in there?
You can actually see the smell coming off of this stuff.
Oh,
it's pretty impressive. It's dark, brown, kind of looks like a big pile of somebody stepped on a chocolate cake over and over and over again with dirty shoes.
I thought you were going to talk about, like, it looks like a pile of some animal dropping someone stepped in.
Well, no, I mean, this is a kishka, which is different than a regular blood sausage, but the ingredients are the same. And I thought that it would be more fun to eat something that didn't have that gorgeous sliced sausage appeal.
Yeah,
that you and I like.
That's what I had. I was like, oh, this is mush.
It's mush. It's mush. We're going to talk about why it's mush.
All right.
So, blood sausage. We have that here for those of you who may be new to the whole eating blood thing. This is not Dracula's breakfast sausage.
Blah, blah.
Firstly, it has garlic in it, so that wouldn't work for him. And secondly, I think even Dracula has more discerning tastes and is probably more or less picky with regard to how his blood is treated. And also, I think mixing it with pig snouts may be a bit Epicurean for a count.
Pig snouts?
Pig snouts.
Oh, man.
Number one ingredients, right up at the top of the list. There's a lot of cultures that have developed some kind of blood pudding. It's another word for it. Blood pudding, blood sauce. So you can't back away from the microphone. I mean, I know you want to.
I know.
Here, let me just move this closer to you.
Yeah,
there you go. He's fanning the odor in my direction. And I don't appreciate it.
No, I got to be quick before that. My stomach turned. I was like, oh, I don't want
to. Oh, you're going to be eating it, dude.
I know.
This is going into your belly.
That's why I'm so upset. Get in my... No, don't.
No, because that's... You do that with tasty stuff.
Yes, not with...
Just about every culture. Most cultures that are pretty old, you know, they have some kind of blood pudding, blood sausage, same thing, over the ages, because it actually is good for you. And this stuff goes back thousands of years, ever since people figured out that you could shove stuff into an animal's intestines. That's how long they've been making it. And wasting stuff has always been bad. So, you know, blood and some kind of filler has been getting stuffed back into the animal's own guts. Alrighty then. Marcus is behaving very strangely with this bowl of stuff. Just okay. I'm sure it doesn't photograph well. I don't know why.
It looks. Just
I don't know why you just took a picture
life.
Of this stuff.
I just want to make sure everybody knows exactly what we're eating.
Okay. Okay. So we'll put this. On the website exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not the gorgeous, shiny, seared, flied little sections
like
of
poop.
Sausage. Oh, that's lovely. It looks a little bit more like dog food, actually.
No.
In the all natural kind where they put in grains and stuff.
Well, I make my dog's food, so my dog food looks better than that. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, whatever we don't finish, you can feed to him.
He'll love it.
He probably will.
I just want to put it in my
car.
It's
going in your car. It's not going in my car.
Oh.
My upholstery will have that Jerry Seinfeld
it.
B.O. odor episode. I'm going to have to leave my car in the middle of nowhere and hope someone steals it.
So we microwaved it for a bit, just let you get everybody know. So the steam was in the container, and we just opened it, so the steam
and
wafted out.
And
whoever's in this studio after us.
Yeah, well, I mean, it smells a lot more when it's warm.
Oh, I know.
I mean, when you walk in here with an open container, it was cold then. I don't think anyone really noticed it as much. But we're leaving with this thing, and we're going to walk it out nice and open.
Yes.
So that everyone at the station is going to, I mean, they already don't like us.
No.
But, I mean, they're going to,
like, oh, it's you.
They're like, can you please ask them to switch to another? I mean, come on. And like management, well, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
They're not technically doing anything wrong. It's not their body odor. We can't talk about it.
No, and you know what? If we were just employees and this was our lunch, no one could say boo.
That's exactly right.
Anyone who does not like the visible smell that, I mean, you can see it. You can see how this stuff smells.
Yes.
So haggis, everyone's heard of haggis. It's a good example of it. So you have the blood of the animal that's carefully been reserved during the slaughter, mixed with a filler like a meat or a fat or a grain, cornmeal, sweet potato, Tuesday's leftovers. The list goes on and on. And you can use any kind of animal that has intestines for this, like a pig, any kind of cattle, sheep, goat, llama, I guess, would probably also work. The Asias, Europe, and early America are responsible for putting their own little stamp of uniqueness on this disgusting classic. This, I think, is proof that not all classics are good. But it's high in minerals. It uses all parts of the animal that would otherwise be shamefully wasted. And each culture has its own way of making it and seasoning it.
Hmm.
So basically, this is something that we just can't live another day without trying ourselves.
So now, is this American or is this Russian or is this...
This is a Russian Jewish.
Got it.
It's a kishka, which is a it's packed into a sausage casing, but you're supposed to take it out of the casing.
Oh, okay.
And there's a couple of different ways that blood sausages are prepared. They're in firmer sausages that you roast whole and then slice, or some of them are made to be a little bit firmer when you cut them so that they don't fall apart.
Got it.
But this is a kishka, so it's looser. It's meant to come out of its casing. So I have we have this here. It's kishka is stuffed intestine by definition. This happens to be the Russian Jewish kind, blood sausage, not kosher, obviously.
Obviously.
So yes, you can easily get this stuff pretty much anywhere, especially if you have access to a Russian, Jewish, or European deli of some kind. They also have it in a lot of German delis.
Mm-hmm.
This particular blood sausage is made, as we were talking about, primarily pork snouts. And I was just saying to Marcus the other day, I wish there was a way for me to get more pork snout into my day. So
my diet needs more pork snout. Ugh.
There's also pork blood, meat, and some seasonings, garlic, salt, pepper, and groats.
Groats? Is that a bug?
No, but it sounds like a bug.
Yeah.
Groats are the whole entire grain, including the husky outside, which is usually removed during milling. So hard to find at a regular grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you get some nice blood and intestine into your day, but you also get some nice fibrous groats, too.
Yay.
Finally, we're getting some more groats. That's important.
Now.
Blood sausage is usually cooked prior to selling, so it's not the bright red color when you buy it, so you don't have to be scared. It's dark brown when you buy it. And this kishka that I have here was no different. I gave it a once-over in a sauté pan just to be sure, and of course the thin, wispy little intestines all fell apart and stuck to the pan and left me with what looks like breakfast scrapple mixed with a fair amount of blood. Don't worry, though. When blood gets cooked, it turns a crumbly dark brown.
Like scabs.
Nice. It won't win any beauty contest, but it gets the job done.
Ugh.
It's hearty-looking. It looks like it would fill you up.
So
it's supposed to be good for you, so... Here we go. I have a little spork here for you.
Oh, thank you.
I brought the spork. That way you can't say, "Aw, you only have one spork."
I would have. Yeah, I thought I should.
Do you want to taste this at the same time? Here, you get a clump, and I'll get a clump. Oh. You get that scab in the corner.
I have that big old scab right in the middle.
Ew,
oh my god!
Holy moly! Okay, this is
going to
be interesting, folks. We're eating the blood sausage now.
Is there a garbage can nearby?
There is. It's right over there. Keep an eye on that. Should I move that closer to you?
No, I'll run.
Don't be a sissy. Eat the sausage.
Just saying.
Okay, nice big piece. Big piece. Here we go. Well, that didn't taste like I expected it to.
No, it tastes a little better.
Tastes a little better than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot better.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't taste a lot better than
actually,
it looks.
The taste is like it smells just a lot milder.
Yeah. It actually smells really awful compared to how it tastes. Uh-oh. Poor Marcus. Marcus is turning green.
The texture.
It's squishy.
It's squishy, like squishy scabs.
Nice.
I just...
You just swallowed a scab.
Swallowed a scab.
How you feeling there, buddy?
Of a cow.
Marcus
no,
looks
of a pig.
Definitely
cow?
Green.
What?
This cow.
What? Cow.
Pig pork snout.
Oh. Ooh,
Right. You ever had head cheese?
I've had head cheese.
Is head cheese plus oatmeal plus blood.
Yes, head cheese, but it's a little cleaner, I think. And not scabby.
This looks dirty.
Yeah.
It tastes dirty.
Yeah, it's very minerally.
And
I'm glad I don't taste the iron, though. I was worried about the irony blood taste.
Well, I'm deliberately avoiding now the scabby-looking chunks, but I am going to try this twice. That's my rule. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, I got a little piece of intestine residue in there. That's
nice.
That's Oh, it fell off. I'm safe.
You're safe.
Here we go. Bite number two.
I'm going to do the same. I'm going to go in there.
Well, you got to be a man about it, you know. You got to try everything twice. We're still chewing.
Yeah. Oh, there's a piece of intestine, I think. Little hangies.
Yeah, we're chewing tentatively and swallowing doubtfully and smelling at our own risk. You know, it's better the second taste.
It is, because I know what to expect. It's not as bad.
Well, there are people out there who love this stuff.
Oh, I bet. I mean, if I was raised on it, I would be fine with it. Like, and I'm not just saying because it's weird, but just
it's weird.
Different enough where I could see myself eating it.
Well, it's got whole grain in it.
Yeah.
So it's like you mixed something nasty with some oatmeal, and then that kind of makes it more palatable.
It's got seasonings in there. I definitely am feeling like a spice.
Well, if you get either the kind that's a real like sausage, a hard sausage, and you can grill that up, sear it on all sides, or you get this crumbly kishka kind, separate it from the intestine. Don't get any of those little leftover intestines left over that like they're like randomly in there. Take those out.
Now, what intestine do you know? Is it the...
It's the pig intestine.
Is it the large intestine or the small intestine?
Let's see. It was about 1.5 inches in diameter.
Oh, probably a small one.
So that would be the small. It was very, very thin.
Okay.
I'm not a real big fan of eating the large intestine of things.
No, I don't either. That's why
I think that they're disgusting.
That's why I waited until after we ate it to ask. Because if you told me it was the large one...
Chitterlings.
Yeah.
Called chitterlings. Sure. A lot of people in the South call them chitlins.
Chitlins. Mm-hmm.
That's their nickname. Never really eaten one.
No.
And I don't plan to.
It's where, you process all your food.
Sorry, it's a waste disposal thing. That's not cool with me. I would rather eat blood and groats.
Yeah.
Actually. But let's see what's some stuff that you can do with this stuff to make it a little bit more palatable if you really want to get experimental and maybe scare the heck out of your brother-in-law when he comes over for dinner. You can throw this stuff into spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, if you had something to cut it, I could see that working.
Might
really well.
Might be okay. Mix it with rice, little beans, maybe make a funky dirty rice, and it would be very dirty rice. Maybe some fresh basil or sage would go nicely on this stuff. You could actually stuff a bird with it and then roast it.
I was thinking
that wouldn't be too bad.
Really use some veggies, some like bell peppers, some sweet veggies, like bell peppers and onions, just diced up.
What if you put it on your scrambled eggs?
I was thinking that too. I was actually definitely
put it on scrambled eggs. Put some cheese on it, some nice European cheese, maybe a Munster.
Yeah, something to overpower it.
Would be pretty good. Drop little chunks into various oven roasted casseroles. Really freak out your family. Mm-hmm. Poke little holes in the sausage and roast it. That's what you're gonna do. And take the bits. Get funky with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a good time. Marcus is eyeing this thing like he thinks it's going to jump off the table and bite him.
Yeah, I think it's trying to eat me from the inside.
It may be. I mean, you just swallowed like maybe an ounce of it.
Yeah.
Scary stuff. Well, that was our blood sausage experiment. Tastes sort of like Spam.
I don't like Spam.
Kind of. You don't like Spam?
Say
that again.
I don't like Spam.
No, say it like, I don't like Spam.
I don't like Spam.
Now say it with a British accent.
I don't like Spam.
Hey, that's great.
Thank you.
I don't like Spam.
I don't like Spam.
For any Monty Python fans out there. that's our Spam clip.
Finally.
We finally fit a Monty Python quote into the show. I am so happy and feeling also a little bit sick. Coming up next, we'll be discussing the elemental, systematic, and hypoallergenic way to collect bacon fat. How to save it, store it, and use it. We're going to ponder the primary pork protocol. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs,
Oh,
hello. How about lemon chicken piccata? Roast beef with Dijon sauce. Roasted red snapper. Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms. Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is my sister from another mister, Chef Marcus, who is with me in saying that blood sausage is, well, there it is.
Exactly.
You could try it. You could try it.
You can live without it.
You won't die.
You won't die.
I mean, you will probably not like us very much.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Or smells.
Yeah.
It tastes better than it smells. Yeah. But you know what? We're like olfactory creatures.
Mm-hmm.
The smell of something really influences our taste.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10,000 different kinds of smells that we can identify and only a couple of dozen tastes.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, maybe 100. Maybe we can identify 100, but most people are like either, you know, meat or non-meat.
Exactly.
You know, alcohol or it doesn't have any alcohol in it, you know, and that we can taste. But, well... There it is, the blood sausage. There it is. It's over there. We've put the lid back on it because that was vile.
I should have brought in my Lysol.
Absolutely vile. And now, they're cute, little, and their mission is clear, to bring a little bit of Chicago into our life. The real Chicago that brought you inch-thick, deep-dish-stuffed pizzas harboring 2 pounds of cheese and beefsteak hoagies with spreadable cheese sauce. And, of course, the one thing you can't take a trip to Chicago without... The authentic Chicago hot dog. You know it when you see it. It's pretty unique, and it has to fit a certain criteria. It must be an all-beef Vienna sausage. Can you say sausage?
Sausage.
No, sausage.
Sausage?
Sausages. You have to say it like a person from Chicago. Sausage. It must come topped with onions, tomato slices, hot peppers, a whole pickle spear, and neon green psychedelic glow-in-the-dark relish. This is not a naturally occurring pickle they use for this stuff. It's nuclear relish, bright green. Also, the bun must be covered in poppy seeds. That's the rules. If you are missing just one of these elements, it is not a real Chicago hot dog. And JK Burgers and Dogs in the Renaissance Center in La Jolla, our wonderful, beautiful little city of San Diego, a place that has no snow, understands that responsibility. They take it seriously, and they deliver real Chicago eats. They have real shakes. Actual beef and cool toppings for their all Angus burgers, like kimchi.
Ooh,
pickled cabbage.
I love kimchi.
They put it on a burger.
Yeah,
it's really cool. They also top their burgers with fried eggs and other cool stuff. They even have the other Chicago staple, bratwurst with onions, one of my personal favorites. Unfortunately, my eyes tend to be a bit bigger than my stomach, so I didn't get a chance to try everything I wanted to, but I am going back. Today, in fact, so that would be a good way for some of you folks to meet me, if you were so inclined. Just don't bother me when I'm eating. That tends to bring out the Canadian Yeti in me. It's hard to find real Chicago food here in San Diego. Remember what a big deal we made of it when we found Lefty's Real Chicago Style Pizza? We were so happy that we gave them a wooden plaque with stars all over it. Check them out at www.jkburgers and get a real taste of real Chicago without the airfare. I just love this place. Delicious meats, real chips and fries. Now all they have to do is talk about Ditka a bit more and they'd totally have it. You can check out photos of my recent hot dog delirium at foodfightradio.com. Duh bears.
Duh bears.
Duh bears.
Duh bulls.
Ditka. Right? Ditka. Come on. Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
super fans.
I know, super fans. I just didn't know it was Ditka. I just know it's Ditka. Duh bears. Duh bulls.
Yeah, and the bears and Ditka. That's the whole, you're hopeless.
Well, there was a couple of them. I remember the one where they had to pick who would win in a sports arena fight, the Bears or the Bulls.
Uh-huh.
And they went crazy because they couldn't figure it out.
Right. Work with me a little bit more. Bacon. We promised people we would talk about bacon. Quite frankly, one of my very favorite things. It's easy to collect, store, and use, and here's how. First, a word on cooking it. You may be thinking that you cook it in a skillet and then you're done. No. This is the lazy, uncivilized way to cook bacon. If you are serious about cooking your bacon, try this. Ditch the skillet. Arrange the strips of bacon on a rack set in a rimmed baking sheet. Roast the bacon gently and evenly in the oven at 375 degrees. Rotate the pan halfway through cooking. Total of 15 minutes. This will ensure that there are no chewy pockets or overly burnt bits. And always cook more than you need. People tend to snatch them when you're not looking. So make a whole package.
Make a whole pack.
Yeah, don't put the rest of the half of that package back in saran wrap into your fridge for next week. Won't last that long, and you're going to run out of bacon.
Worst case scenario, nobody eats all the bacon. You have bacon for BLTs the next day.
Yeah. And what's better than a BLT? With nice, cheap, generic mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. And lots of pepper.
A side of blood sausage.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, poor Marcus. Oh, you can see him getting green again. See, I'm going to bring that up, and on the way out, I'm going to open this container so you can smell it. Wonderful. Make you blood sausage cologne. You can either do that, or you can use a skillet. It's okay. You can still cook it the regular way. Don't crowd these things when you do roast them. Make sure that the heat can circulate evenly. And if you line the baking sheet with foil, it's a totally easy cleanup. And when the bacon is finished cooking, you just pick up the edges of the foil from the sheet pan, pour the fat into a cup for later use. Now, with regard to sieving it out and storing it, there are two ways to collect this delicious leftover bacon fat. Pour the hot liquid bacon grease from your pan into a glass container onto which you have placed a paper towel. The paper towel will catch all the solids and bits and strain out the clear liquid into the vessel below. Cover it and store it in the fridge. The other way is to simply dump all of it, including the little bits, into the same glass vessel. Personally, I like the little bits, but you could go either way. Now, if you're not going to be using it and you're going to be storing it for quite some time, store it without the bits. But if you're going to be using it fairly soon, mm-hmm. which is a safe bet in my house, I go through this stuff a lot, I like the little bits. And they're not going to cause anything to go bad or smell or develop that rancid, I'm no good anymore, bacon fat scent, which means throw it away and start with a new vessel.
Yeah.
You screwed up.
Yeah,
you did not use your bacon fat
smell.
In time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you did to make sure that that lovely bacon fat was going to be clean and rendered and beautiful was a gigantic waste of time if you don't use it. So use it. This stuff will keep anywhere between a few weeks to indefinitely, since every cook and cookbook has a different opinion on it. Basically, I think everyone is right.
Mm-hmm.
Those who love it probably use a lot of it and therefore never have it around long enough to wait and see if it goes bad, right? And what can you do with this wonderful leftover bacon fat? You can make fried potatoes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it on your griddle for pancakes.
That's
bacony pancakes.
Bacony pancakes.
Right? Put it on a baked sweet potato. Put a little bit into some cornbread batter. It makes green beans taste divine, or any veggie for that matter. Saute them, a little bacon fat. It will make your kids eat it. Again, Fair warning to any vegan that comes to dinner at my house. Chocolate brownie batter or cupcake batter. A little bit of bacon makes it smoky and rich. Doesn't make them taste like bacon.
No.
It will not. It will just make them smoky and rich.
You can also rub your roast with it, like your birds and that, to give that skin an extra crispy flavor.
I was just going
to
say that.
Oh. Well.
Notes? We don't use notes on this show.
What?
Everything comes right out of our imagination. No, we have notes. Of course we have notes. We want to give you guys good information, and we want to make sure that we don't miss anything. I make a flourless chocolate bacon torte that would turn a vegan. So, and put it in the soups, all kinds of wonderful stuffs.
Biscuits. Love using it in biscuit mix.
And on biscuits.
And on biscuits when you cook them.
It's time for clarification.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Folks, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about how to eat more healthily. Or at least how to eat slightly less garbage. And we've made it no secret that we are not fond of what McDonald's has done to food, or that they have affected a global phenomenon of restructuring the entire ecosystem of the ocean and therefore the planet by overfishing what was once the most plentiful fish in the sea. One restaurant did that. Now, that's impressive, especially since that wasn't even their top seller. But let's take a step back and have some honesty, shall we? They wouldn't be selling these things if no one wanted them. If we weren't knocking down their golden arches with a mad craving for nuggets and cheap pink slime patties, do you think they would still be making them? It's supply and demand. You demand them, so they must supply them. And if McDonald's didn't, well, you can bet someone else would. Because when we want a 20-piece McFranken nugget, we will not be denied. We're Americans, and it won't matter to us that the price is kept low by minimizing the chicken content of those nuggets. That's not a question being asked when we get to the front of that line, is it? No. It's hey, does that come in a meal deal? Or can I get a few more dipping sauces with that? Because that's our main concern. The price, not the clucking ingredients. We want it cheap. And we also want it fast. Well, you can't have everything. In our frantic rush to answer the call of Filet-O-Fish Friday or the return of the $2 McRib, it never occurs to us that they still need to make a small profit on this stuff. So they'd take out some of the meat and replace it with silly putty or ammoniated slime. They'd take out some of the pork and replace it with flame-retardant roof sealant. That keeps these beauties on the dollar menu, where we always look first. If we didn't demand it, they wouldn't be supplying it. Oh, but we want more salads and healthier options. That darn McDonald's is making our kids fat. That's what we say in their surveys that they spend millions on to learn all about what drives our fast food decisions. But then what happens? McDonald's made those fancy salads with fresh fruit, didn't they? And they sold apple slices and low-fat milk, didn't they? And they made those nice, heartwarming, all-American commercials showing us images of ourselves eating right and having salad. And then what happened? We got nuggets. The same crap nuggets we just found out were made out of silly putty anti-foaming goop. And the burgers made of pink slime and blasted with ammonia gas. And the McRib, which is anything but. When was the last time you ordered a salad from McDonald's? This is a classic example of you lying, worst of all, to yourself. You swore you would eat healthier options if you could, if you had more time, and more options. You can't. And what do? We go straight for the dollar menu. Why? Because it's cheaper. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. I realized this when I went to Mickey D's the other day, because I was actually feeling a craving for a nice, fresh, green salad. Leaving the drive-thru a few minutes later, I noticed a pile of lard-fried, beef gelatin-coated fat fries. They were a dollar, and they were delicious. Tune in next week for Speck. What the speck is it? Monkey bread. Not just for monkeys, nor is it made out of them. And making your own marshmallows. Is it worth it? No, it isn't. All next week on your favorite food show. This is Claire Katz reminding you that nobody wants the pudding until it's grown that weird human-like skin on it. What's that about?
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things. Every single day. Yeah.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.